call to worship.
Holy One, dwell within us. Whisper in our glimmer in our vision. We wait
with open ears,
open eyes, open hearts.
Amen.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my
Let us confess our jealous nature to God and one another. Heavenly Father, we are broken people. We are sinful and unwilling to think and act the way you want us to. We are jealous and envious of others. We want things that others have, regardless of our need.
Forgive us, O Lord.
We downplay the gifts of others, and we sometimes think that they do not deserve the good things that they have. We may acknowledge the gifts that others possess, but we then focus on their faults. We refuse to remove the log of wood from our own eye before removing the speck from the eye of another.
Forgive us, Father.
We can be entirely ungracious towards our fellow humans, and we do not love another as we love ourselves. And in doing so, we fail to love you, the Creator of all.
Forgive us, Father. And in your mercy, change our hearts and put our sins out of your sight. We ask this in the name of our Lord, who set up the example of sharing our joys and sorrows. Amen.
The light of Christ dims whenever we have been lazy and failed to reach out in the name of people in need. It dims when we have pridefully put our own needs before those of others. It dims when we forget Jesus' instruction that we feed his lambs. Christ's light ebbs away when we greedily seek another person's property. It is hidden by the darkness of jealousy.
People of God, hear the words of comfort as found in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. God redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. God satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. Satisfied by the Lord, we put away envy and jealousy. Let us praise God with grateful heart for his blessings and grace. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me for the prayer for illumination. Your word, O God, has power to change our lives and create a whole new world. As we meditate on your day, on your word this day, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may treasure your word with our whole hearts, see you with the eyes of faith, and to be strengthened to light the way your heart for others. Amen.
The song that Mindy and Kathy just so beautifully offered in our worship today, Give Me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And yet our lesson for today is about seeing Jesus. Interesting combination. Listen now for God's word to God's people from John chapter 12. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Getting a reverb. I didn't know if it was the mic or not. Sorry. So these Greeks had said, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sir, sir, we want to see Jesus. What would you say if someone came up to you and said those words? In today's story, it almost sounds as if these Greeks were standing at a training room door waiting for their basketball star hero to come out of the dressing room. Yeah? It was easier 2,000 years ago to meet such luminaries. Philip simply repeated the request to Andrew, and together they approached Jesus, who agrees to the audience. That was then. This is now. So what would you do if someone came up to you and said those words? Sir, we want to see Jesus. The Lord has not, to the best of my knowledge, probably to yours too, he has not reappeared on the earth. So what would you say to a person seeking him? What would you do? I'm going to let that question hang. Have you ever wondered why these Greeks wanted to see Jesus of all people? They were God-fearing Jews. They'd traveled far to the holiest of cities for the most important feast of their faith. Quite a pilgrimage. And they wanted to see an uneducated nobody from Nazareth? Maybe they'd heard he was extremely faithful to God and offered compassion to all. Maybe they'd heard how he had said that whoever believes in him will never be thirsty, or that he was the light of the world. Who knows? What we do know is that though they were religious enough to make that pilgrimage to Jerusalem, for some reason, their spirits had not been quenched. Their hearts thirsted for something, for someone. And from the way Jesus speaks, it feels as if neither these Greeks nor the disciples understood that he was facing a brutal, tortuous death. And yet John offers us a way to see Jesus trusts God, that God had called him to unique, unimaginable work. He was to glorify God. And in great love, he would be lifted up to life eternal with God. Jesus trusted that promise. He trusted a promise that he could not see, touch, taste, or even feel on his skin. Still, he says his soul is troubled. He knows if God's love was to reign over darkness of sin and death, he had to die. He had to face the oblivion of total separation from God in hope that God would indeed lift him from the earth to God's very side. And using the metaphor of a kernel of wheat dying in order to encourage a great deal of grain to grow, he shares his insight with Philip and Andrew and the Greeks who had come from so very far away to see their favorite star. Can you imagine meeting your hero and hearing that person say he needed to die? Not only that, but his death would honor, even glorify God? Such news would worry me. Was the man sane? Was he well? It feels so weird. What is going on here? But the crowd in John's story seems to take Jesus' words in stride. Maybe these sorts of things happened back then more regularly than we know. They hear the thunder. They ask some questions, which, by the way, Jesus does not answer. Instead, he speaks in mystical terms, which is very John. He says, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness may not overtake you." Can you imagine the looks Jesus got when he spoke those words? Did the Greek pilgrims really want to see this Jesus? Now, I like to take evening walks. The sky can be so beautiful at that time. Bev took a picture and we posted it on the Facebook page for the church, and it was all these mauves and blues and grays and pinks. It was gorgeous. But the light always fades away, and darkness always overtakes me. So what is Jesus trying to teach here? Unlike the Greeks or the disciples or the early crowds that gathered to hear John's story of Jesus' life, you and I have the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight. We can see that all four Gospels show Jesus as wanting his followers to offer the same compassion to others as he had shown them. He wanted them to provide his guiding light to the world. He wanted us to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, let the oppressed go free, and help the blind recover their sight. The question is how? How do we help ourselves and others regain sight and see Jesus? Believe it or not, the Constitution of the PCUSA, our denomination, actually offers some guidance on this issue. In fact, these touchstones were brought to the denomination when 63 years ago, the United Presbyterian Church of North America united with the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America. Is that enough? Whew. And I believe that the three churches that came together to become Trinity, some were from each of the backgrounds. I don't know which was which, but I'm pretty sure of that. Well, at that time, we agreed, as Christ's body on earth, that we are to respond to God's gift of being called children of God by exhibiting six traits, the six great ends of the church. Here they are. Proclaim in word and in deed the good news of salvation to humankind. Provide shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship for God's children. Maintain worship of the triune God. Preserve God's truth for the world. Promote social righteousness and show the world what the kingdom of heaven is all about. These six traits are what make us Christ's reformed body on earth. They are what make us the church. They help generate meaning in our lives and, more importantly, glorify God, the God that Jesus glorified. Yes, the words in the six great ends of the church are a bit high-minded. And yes, we need to figure out just how to make them shine in our lives today, especially as we grow older. What can we do to promote social righteousness when we're in our 80s? How can we help Jesus' light illuminate the paths of those who are in need now? And what if little children start coming to church again? They'll want to see Jesus in ways that make sense to them, won't they? How can we walk while we have the light so darkness does not overtake us? Faith. Faith. Jesus said, "Believe in the light so that you may become children of light." God called Jesus to unique, unimaginable work. He was to glorify God, and in great love, he would be lifted up to life eternal with God. Jesus trusted that promise. Jesus had faith in what he could not see or touch or taste or even feel on his skin. He believed that God would work through him to fulfill his mission to glorify God. Can't you just see his faith glowing all around him, kind of like when he was transformed up on the mount? He did glorify God, the giver of all life. He illuminated our path so that we might guide others who are journeying long ways to see him too. So if someone were to say to you, "Sir, I want to see Jesus," what would you say? As has long been our governance, the PCUSA ordains and installs men and women to lead Christ's body. We believe that such service is a response to God's word, which we have just heard, and is empowered in us by the Holy Spirit who gathers us together. We believe this service is a way to live into the six traits, the six great ends of the church, and to help others see Jesus. Therefore, as Mindy sings the next hymn, I invite Anna Johnson, Julie McLean, Larry Good, and Ray Menega to join Tim Patterson, Aaron Johnson, and me on the chancel steps so that they may be installed to their new work.
Varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them.
There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. Our common calling is to be disciples and servants of our Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to service as deacons, and some are to serve as elders. And this is that might be better, not so much jarring around, I'm sorry. They are called to ensure that Christ's ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world, and for ordering the governance of the church.
Representing the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of Trinity United Presbyterian Church now installs to service as ruling elders Julie McLean and Ray Miniga, and as deacon Larry Good, and we also ordain and install Anna Johnson as deacon.
This is a time to turn from sin and renew your commitment to Christ. All are reminded to bear gladly the yoke of Christ given in the covenant of baptism. I ask everyone to answer. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say, I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, say, I do. And now, just for those being installed and ordained, will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, say, I will. You are children of God and have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Remember that grace and always be thankful.
Let us together state what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I now address directly those four people standing before us with the questions that come from our Book of Order, our Constitution. Do you, Trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledging him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If so, say, I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? If so, say, I do. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? If so, say, I do and I will. Will you be governed by our church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? If so, say, I will. Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? If so, say, I will. Do you promise to further the peace, the unity, and the purity of the church? If so, say, I do. Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? If so, say, I will. That's the best question of all. Ray, Julie, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? If so, say, I will. Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will. Anna, Larry, will you both be faithful deacons, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will. Thank
you. And to the congregation, do we, the members of the church, accept Ray and Julie as ruling elder and Anna and Larry as deacon, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
If so, say, we do.
Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
If you so, say, we do. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, the joy we give you, with joy we give you all thanks and praise. Throughout the ages, you have been faithful to your covenant people, whom you have called out of bondage and redeemed to be your own. We thank you for men and for women in every age who have nurtured your people in faith and faithfulness. Above all, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Anointed by your Holy Spirit, he proclaimed your reign on earth, revealing your saving love in all he said and did. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, Larry and Anna, Julie and Ray, whom you called through baptism and marked as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that they may show his compassion in daily life and rightly govern your people. Give them the gifts of your Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. Give to your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence.
Gracious God, pour out your spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we might be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain this congregation in ministry, ground us in the gospel, secure our hope in Christ, strengthen our service to the outcast, and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Ray, Julie, you are both installed as ruling elder to serve this congregation and the church, as well as God. Anna, you have now been ordained and installed. Larry, you are installed as deacon, both of you. And you are here for this church, the Church of Jesus Christ, the world over, and you are to serve God. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. The Lord has called you to labor in the ministry of the church. So go out and serve the Lord well. God bless you as you go. Amen. Shall we welcome them? Thank you. I invite you all to settle your hearts that we might pray together. O God, our Father, you are creator of heaven and earth. As Son, you are the Redeemer of the world. As Holy Spirit, you are our advocate and guide. We thank you for the resurrection dawn, which brings the glory of our risen Lord, who makes all things new. And we thank you, too, for today's dawn, and for all the beauty of the earth, the glorious blue skies, the hum of spring peepers, the brilliance of yellow daffodils, purple and gold crocus that are springing forth in protected garden spots. We thank you for the people and relationships that sustain us, those who provide public safety and well-being, those who teach, and those who bring signs of new hope that in your wisdom are revealed to us each day. Hear us now as we boldly pray like children, seeking their Father's blessings. We pray for the church. Govern and direct it in its work, O Lord. Fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will. Bless and keep your people that all may find and follow their true vocation. Give us a heart to love and act with honor towards you, to encourage the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall, and in us bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. We pray for this country. Rule the hearts of those who govern us, the president of this nation, and all others in authority, that they may do justice, love mercy, and walk in the way of truth. We lift up to you the nations of the world. Grant unity, peace, and concord among them, and give to all people dignity, food, shelter. We especially pray for women and girls in nations like Nigeria, where girls are routinely abducted from their schools to be terrorized by those who would rather they not receive an education. We ask you in this season of new life to give farmers good weather in which to plant, as well as abundant harvests in the fall, so that all might be fed. We ask that you give them strength and skill, along with others, to conserve the earth's resources and wisdom to use them well. O Lord, come to the help of all who are in danger. We pray for immigrants, especially those from China and Southeast Asia, who find themselves being persecuted in these times. We pray for those who travel for work or pleasure, as well as for those who cannot travel because they are imprisoned. We ask, O Lord, that you defend and provide for refugees the world over, and the homeless in our community, the unemployed and the hungry. We especially pray for those who are sick in body or mind. We give thanks that you are providing for Dave and Clara and Lou and for Dan Beebe, all of whom are dealing with major health issues, and yet you are with them, by their side, nurturing them and bringing them back to wholeness. We pray, too, for those who are grieving a loss, and we ask that you give skill and compassion to all who care for them. O Lord, we ask much, but we also give thanks for all that you have given us, and we ask that you bless the gifts and tithes and offerings which we have brought to you so that they might be used by this church in service to your holy name. O God, we ask you to hear us. Lamb of God, we remember you take away the sin of the world. Spirit divine, we ask you to have mercy upon us and hear us as we pray the words Jesus first taught the disciples to pray aloud, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people, for all people want to see Jesus. And love and serve the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your spirit. Do so knowing that you do not go out into the world alone, but you go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit each and every step of the way. Amen and amen.